Would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs and find Proverbs chapter 3? And take a look in your bulletin. You'll see an insert. It has a number of verses from Proverbs printed on it. You may want to have that in front of you at the same time. And if you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll bring one to you. Let's take a moment and pray and prepare our hearts to hear God's word. Lord, thank you that you love to speak to us through your word. And we need to hear from you today, Lord. We pray that you would renew our hope, revive our spirits, give us a greater love for you and for people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, I began a habit that has helped me gain perspective on my life, plan ahead, and at the same time see how God has been working in my life. I carry around this little red book with me all during the week. It contains my schedule and my plans. And at the end of every week, usually on a Saturday or a Sunday, I take some time to review the previous week, write down insights and trends so I can see what's God trying to tell me. And then I make plans for the next week. I've got 26 of these up in my office for every year I've been with you here at Cherrydale. Yesterday, I was reviewing the week, and a theme clearly emerged. It was a theme in my own life and the dozens of people I interacted with, and it has to do with what one Christian author calls our private world. That place inside of us where our worldview, our will, our emotions, and our faith all come together to respond to life circumstances, that private world. And as I went through my week, I came across dozens of people who were struggling in their private world in response to circumstances. So they were tempted to lose heart. They were frustrated. How do I respond to this? Some of the things I encountered, just to give you a feel for this, hostile neighbors, intrusive in-laws, a friend betrays me, unemployment, ineffective coworkers, moral failure, children with multiple problems, dysfunctional marriage, extremely full schedule, poor health. Are you depressed yet? I go through this, and it dawned on me as I looked at this week, this is no new theme. I've been dealing with this ever since I'm a pastor. This is life. This is what we deal with. And then it dawned on me, we all desperately need wisdom from God to be strong on the inside, to deal with a wounded, broken spirit that every one of us encounter through life. And if we don't have the wisdom to be strong on the inside, we'll be crushed. And praise God that He loves us. And praise God that He gives us everything we need to be strong on the inside. But here's what Proverbs tells us. It's a wise book. You have to be intentional. You must. You have to be intentional about seeking God and going to His Word. And only then will He make you strong on the inside. Now, as we've gone through Proverbs, today we deal with the issue of healing a wounded and crushed spirit. Probably got a room full of people who are crushed in spirit over something. Proverbs gives us wisdom. First of all, let's review what wisdom is according to the book of Proverbs. I came up with a little statement that summarizes what Proverbs says wisdom is. Let's read it together. It's at the top of your notes. Godly wisdom is the skill to deal with the realities of life, and it comes from trusting God above all else. So in this subject of healing a wounded spirit, Proverbs is going to tell us something. First, you got to face some realities about this. And second, there's a skill you must develop. It's a skill of trusting God above all else. Did you know that's a skill? We have to develop that skill or we'll never get over our wounded spirit. So here's what Proverbs does when it helps us face reality. It gives us the same reality grid we mentioned last week that the whole Bible gives us. There's a grid we must look through, and then life makes sense. And here's the grid from the Bible. Creation, fall, restoration in Christ. That's the grid that makes sense of the world. First of all, in the area of a wounded spirit, we are created in the image of a triune God. Therefore, we are complex. We are not simple. So when it comes to healing on the inside a wounded spirit, it's not a simple answer. Proverbs will tell us, face reality, there are five areas inside of you that have to be touched. And if you don't know what these five are, you'll never get healed on the inside. Second reality, we're fallen. Adam fell into sin. He took the whole human race with us. So every one of us are selfish. We're willfully sinful. And that's what's inside of us. And that causes us to wound other people and to be wounded by other people. So here's what Proverbs is going to say. Here's wisdom. You must make it a priority every day of your life to be strong on the inside. And if that's not a priority, life will crush you. Third reality, God is on a mission. He is restoring and redeeming people in Christ. So Proverbs is going to tell us, here's a skill. If you ever want to get the inside of you right and strong, you must have the skill to learn to trust God with your whole being. Then you can be healed. So let's start with that reality of on the inside, we must be strong. Look at Proverbs 18:14. Let's read it together. The spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but for a broken spirit, who can bear it? Here's what it's telling us. If you're strong on the inside and your body is sick, you can work through that. But you break a man's spirit and you'll wipe him out. He just can't handle it. We need to be strong on the inside. Now, here's what the culture tells us. Our whole culture reinforces if you want to be happy, it's all about externals. It's having the right relationships. It's having the right career, enough money. Right circumstances makes you happy. Proverbs is the exact opposite. True happiness and stability comes from the inside. It's how you respond to what happens to you. Life is 10% what happens to us, 90% how we respond to what happens to us. We all live in a circle. At the top are circumstances. In response to circumstances, we form an attitude. And out of our attitude, we have actions which affect our circumstances. Now, where does God put the emphasis? It's not on giving us perfect circumstances. It's not always just get your act together. God goes after the attitude, the heart, the inside. This must be strong. The Apostle Paul, when he is writing to churches that are facing persecution, horrible circumstances, look at what he prays for these people. He doesn't say, oh, I'm just asking God to get you out of the mess. He never mentions it. What does he pray? I'm praying that your eyes will be opened. You will see who you are in Christ. You'll put all of your hope in him, and you'll be strong on the inside. Now, here's what Proverbs is saying. It's a blunt book. Proverbs says you're a fool if you're out of touch with reality, and you ought to know better. And if your priority in life is not to be strong on the inside every day, you're a fool and you'll get crushed. That's what he's telling us. We've got a lot of foolish people. When you get up in the morning, most Christians, if they're honest, don't make their very first and highest priority to be happy in God. That's usually not first. Usually we get up and what's important are my task, what I've got to do. And we're totally dry on the inside. Proverbs says you're living like a fool. You're going to get crushed. Second set of realities. You say, okay, I'm supposed to be strong on the inside. And are you just telling me to have daily devotions? That'll fix it? It's not that simple. We're complex. Proverbs says if you want to heal a wounded spirit, There are five areas that could cause your spirit to be wounded. You're complex. Look at the first one. It could be physical. Proverbs 14:30. Let's read it. A tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. Look at the relationship between the inside and the physical. Tranquil heart makes my body have life. Passion, which means anger, resentment, envy on the inside, rotten to the bones. It'll affect me physically. So sometimes people can be crushed because of a physical problem. My mentor, a godly man, struggled with major depression. He wrote a book about it. And it wasn't until he got medicated that he could have a faithful and fruitful ministry. Some people who are godly go through depression and want to take their lives. Chemically imbalanced. It's not always just quote a Bible verse. Sometimes it's physical. Other things that can crush your spirit. It can be relational. It can be the way you think. Look at Proverbs 12:25. Let's read it. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety, worry. You know what worry is? Living on a negative assumption. Isn't that a terrible way to live? Assume the worst, play the record over and over, get your emotions involved, and crush your spirit, and accomplish nothing, and get poor health. On the other hand, what does it say we need? A good word makes us glad. We need a word from the outside that says somebody's in charge, somebody loves you, you can trust this somebody, a word from God. So it could be relational. It could be mental that's causing a crushed spirit. It could be violating your conscience. Look at Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. You know why the wicked flee when nobody's pursuing? Because they violated their conscience and they feel guilty. And when you violate your conscience, it generalizes. You start feeling guilty about things you shouldn't feel guilty about. Maybe they know about me. It just does that to you, and that can crush a spirit. On the other hand, if you have peace on the inside and you're right with God and your conscience is clear, you go into life strong. You're bold as a lion. A crushed spirit can also be caused by an existential thinking. Your philosophy is off. Maybe you're thinking about the vanity of life. That can actually crush your spirit. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13. Let's read that. Even in laughter, the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief. You can go through life enjoying it, be full of laughter, but on the inside, if you really face reality, it hurts. Everything we're enjoying in life right now, everything, it's going to die. You're going to lose it all. Everything. And if you start facing that, you think, thanks for telling me that. I'm so encouraged, Pastor King. I needed to hear that today. Everything seems vain. You accomplish something and then it's gone. You love your family. They'll all die. You're going to lose it all. There's a pain inside. Ecclesiastes talks about this vanity of life. It doesn't mean that life is vain, yet it's not worth living. It means it's full of perplexities. It's full of contradictions. It doesn't always make sense. And if you dwell too long on that, it'll crush your spirit. That's what he's saying. You're complex. You know what? Unless you have a purpose that can't be taken away from you, you'll get crushed. Unless you have a hope beyond this life that's real, you'll get crushed. Look at the fifth thing. It could be your faith being misplaced that can crush a spirit. Proverbs 15:13, let's read it. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. See that word heart? Proverbs uses that term 66 times. It's a major theme in the book, and here's what Proverbs means by the heart. It's that inside part of us where all of our values are formed, where our identity is, where we put our ultimate hope, our meaning in life. And every human being, without fail, puts their hope in something. And if we put our hope in temporary things, you'll get crushed. Make your family your hope, lose them, you're crushed. Make your career your hope, lose it, you're crushed. We have to put our hope in something that can never be taken away from us. Otherwise, we're going to have a crushed spirit. So here's what Proverbs is saying. There's something wrong with us. We don't understand. What's the answer? Well, it's not that simple. There are five areas that can crush your spirit. Now go over here to Barnes & Noble and ask that question. And you might talk to a doctor and he'll say it's all physical. Just get in shape physically. No, it's not. It's more than that. Or go over to the Christians. Just moral. Memorize verses. No, it's more than that. Or you just need therapy. No, there are five areas. We're complex. It's not that simple. Do you know only the Bible shows people this complex? Everybody else reduces us down. The Bible says, no, you're created in the image of a triune God, and you get a broken spirit, and you're complex, and only a triune God can heal you. You need him. So, we're created in the image of God, so what? Here's the so what. Number one, I'm complex. Number two, I'm made for relationship. Unless I have healthy relationships with people, but especially with my Creator, I can get crushed by life. Now, Proverbs is not done making us face reality. It's got one more to push, and it almost pushes you to depression on this one. We're going to go through life lonely. Every one of us. Proverbs says, face this. Proverbs 14:10. Let's read it. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. Since we're so complex and we can be crushed on the inside, we need relationships, people who love us and understand us. But here's what he's saying. The reality is nobody completely understands you. There's nobody that totally gets you. Nobody. Because only God can do that. So if you're putting all of your hope in just people meeting your needs, you'll get crushed. You have to go to somebody who made you, who knows you, who understands you completely, and that's God. Otherwise, you'll get crushed. And Proverbs 16:2 drives it home. All the ways of a man are clear in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives, literally the spirits. In other words, we don't even understand ourselves. It's not that other people don't get me. I don't understand myself either. And so I'm crushed and I don't quite understand why and there's something wrong and how do I get help? Here's what Proverbs is saying. Face that reality and make it push you to face reality. You need God. You were made by God and you're made for God. And here's what he's saying. If God to you is just an abstract concept, He's only getting in touch with him on church on Sundays. During the week, not much. If that's the way your relationship with God is, you're going to get crushed. It's just a matter of time. You'll get wounded and you can't function. But if God is your best friend, if you love him, you know him intimately, you walk with him, your spirit can be revived. And he's the only one that can do it. And this is why Proverbs says, hey, you want to heal a wounded spirit? You've got a skill you must develop. You must develop the skill of trusting God with your whole being. Now, if you take this wrong, that'll crush you. Because you think, I can't come up with that kind of skill. That's the first step. Of course you can't. You need God. So we cry out for mercy. And that's the whole point of the book. God knows us. He knows us perfectly, and he loves us, and he never leaves us alone. He's always seeking us. And Proverbs says, open your eyes to God's wisdom. It's available. Just start seeking him. Go to his word, and God is all over you. He will strengthen and renew your spirit. Here's what we all need. Every one of us needs somebody that could make God so real to us we could taste him. We need somebody who gives us a word from the outside that's trustworthy that says, I love you unconditionally. We need somebody who understands us completely, We need somebody who can give us the power to heal on the inside beyond the power we have on ourselves. We need somebody that can clean our dirty conscience. We need somebody to satisfy the deepest longings in our soul. Do you know who the somebody is? His name is Jesus Christ. And the tree of life is the secret. I'm going to share something with you. I got so excited, I almost started dancing. This is thrilling. The tree of life is only mentioned in three books of your Bible. First time it's mentioned is in the book of Genesis. You remember the story? Adam and Eve are in the garden. They're walking with God, and there's the tree of life there. And they ate from that tree. Then they fell into sin. I used to read this story and think God was cruel when I was a kid. It's God's grace. God said, kick them out of the garden and put an angel there with a flaming sword so they can't get back in, lest they eat from the tree of life and live forever. Why did you kick them out of the garden? If you eat from the tree of life, whatever state you're in, you're locked into it forever. You'd be locked into sin forever. So keep them out. But keep them out with what? The cherubim and the flaming sword. Why is that important? Where's the next time you see the cherubim, the angels? You see them in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies. They're looking at the mercy seat. They're looking at the blood of the atonement. What's it saying? The only way back into the tree of life, somebody's got to shed their blood to pay for your sin. And the flaming sword is judgment. The only way God can show mercy is if he satisfies his justice for our sin. Jesus took the sword for us. He shed his blood to get us back into the garden. Next time you see the tree of life is in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, it says, you will overcome through Christ, and as you overcome, you eat from the tree of life. If you're a believer in Christ, he's overcome for you, and you can eat from the tree of life. The tree of life nourishes you, satisfies all those five longings. Revelation chapter 22, in heaven, we'll be eating from the tree of life and totally satisfied in every way. All of those five complex things, totally satisfied. But that's not where the tree of life stops being mentioned. One other book, the book of Proverbs. It's the only other book that mentions the tree of life. Now, I'd like you to look on the back of your notes and look at Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred, in a general sense, makes the heart sick, but this goes beyond general. There's a longing inside of every one of us, a longing to be satisfied that we just can't get in this life, and therefore our heart is sick, and we long for the tree of life, something that'll satisfy me. Now look at Proverbs 3:18. This is wonderful. Proverbs chapter 3 is talking about wisdom from God. And look at 3:18. She, wisdom, is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her fast. Do you know who the tree of life is? It's Jesus. You know what Colossians says? In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. 1 Corinthians, Christ became for us wisdom from God. Now what this is telling us is why Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I'm the tree of life. Come to me. I shed my blood for your sins. I rose again. I'll give you a whole new identity. I'll put the Spirit of God in you. Keep coming to me. I understand you. I'll give you a word that will heal you. This is why Jesus can say, he who believes in me from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now think about this. I've got a prophet. His name is Jesus. He always tells me the truth. He won't let me get away with anything. I've got a king. He's the sovereign ruler of the universe, and he's good, and he knows me by name. I've got a priest. He shed his blood for me. He understands me. He's praying for me. He comforts me. He's there 24/7. Only Jesus can fulfill the longings I have in my heart. And listen, it's only Jesus when you can look at him and say, I've got a God. When he says, I love you, he's got blood on him. It cost him to say, I love you. Jesus mounted a tree. Why is it that in Acts, in Romans, in Galatians, the cross is referred to as a tree on purpose? Listen to Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. There was a tree, and Adam ate from it, and it cursed him. And there was another tree at Calvary, and Jesus mounted it, and God cursed him so that we would not be cursed, so that through him we could eat the tree of life and be healed on the inside. Now, when you bring this all together, what we really need is the skill to trust God above all else. And guess what is so encouraging? Do you know who authored your faith? It wasn't us. He did. Who's the perfecter? It's not us. It's him. All we have to do is keep our eyes on Jesus, depend on the Holy Spirit, keep coming to him, and he'll heal us from the inside. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. It's Jesus that gives us the power to keep coming. Now, I want to drive this message home to you so that you take it with you this week. And all through church history, churches have created liturgical statements to drive the truth home. So I created one this morning. And I'm so committed to it, I'm going to split the church down the middle. Okay? This side, Dave, your group is from here over. Here's what I'd like y'all to say. Don't lose heart. You ready? Don't lose heart. Say it again like you mean it. Don't lose heart. One more time.
Don't lose heart.
Now, that's only three words. Y'all get seven words because y'all are smart. You ready? Okay, from this side over, what I'd like you to say, come to Jesus, the tree of life. Ready? Come to Jesus, the tree of life. One more time like you mean it. Come to Jesus, the tree of life. Now, I'm going to make a statement after that. Dave's group's going. This group's going. By the time we're done, we're going to get this message. Are you ready? When you fail and you need forgiveness.
Don't lose heart. Come to Jesus, the tree of life.
When your dreams don't come true.
Don't lose heart. Come to Jesus, the tree of life.
When you face a job loss and a financial crisis.
Don't lose heart. Come to Jesus, the tree of life.
When your child breaks your heart. Do y'all believe this? Then say it like you mean it, folks. We're getting warmed up here. When your health takes a turn for the worse.
Don't lose heart. Come to Jesus, the tree of life.
When somebody you love dies.
Don't lose heart. Come to Jesus, the tree of life.
When you're confused, you're worried, and you're anxious.
Don't lose heart. Come to Jesus, the tree of life.
And when you're lonely and you're hopeless. And if you're in this congregation today and you don't know Jesus, this is the message. Don't lose heart. Come to him. Come to him. I want you to stand up, if you would. And I'd like you to say those two statements one more time like you mean it, okay? And then we'll pray.
Don't lose heart. Come to Jesus, the tree of life.
Lord Jesus, help us to take our wounded, crushed spirits, our sinfulness, and our inability to know how to get well, and come running to you and to be a community of people that love you and delight in you and cherish you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you understand us, you love us, you know us, you're alive, you sent the Holy Spirit, and you are indeed the tree of life. May we just keep coming to you. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.